your Bible, Psalm 112, remain standing just a moment. And let's read these 10 verses together. And we've already made it about halfway through this study. I'll give it to you quickly this evening, all right? Psalm 112, verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. Literally, hallelujah. Amen. This is a hallelujah psalm, a psalm to inspire praise. And so he says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. And then verse number 10, it's kind of a change in tone. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. You can be seated tonight. This psalm, we believe ultimately that it is about the Lord Jesus. It's a hallelujah psalm, a psalm of praise, a psalm of worship, one to inspire us to bless the Lord for his work and what he's doing in our life. And so when we come through Psalm 111, we sing a praise ye the Lord as that psalm begun, and it deals with the works of the Lord and his character and his revelation to you and I as we are his children, and we praise him for what he's done and who he is. But in Psalm 112, though this be ultimately about the Lord Jesus, is only he can live up to what truly the blessed man and the good man is in Psalm 112. We do bless the Lord as he is conforming our life into the image of Christ. And so over time, from the moment we're saved to the time that we leave this world, it is the will of God that we be conformed into the image of the man that is being proclaimed in Psalm 112. And so we're not praising, as the Pharisee would do, our own religion or our own goodness or our own blessedness, but we are praising the Lord in Psalm 112, acknowledging that it is his work in our life that has made us and is making us what we are to be. And so we looked at, blessed is, this psalm begins, blessed is the man. And literally meaning how happy, referring to a person's state of bliss, which is the highest degree of happiness. And signifies, this word blessed signifies, as we've already told you, the reality of heavenly joys. Heavenly joys, not a pleasure that is found in an earthly realm, not just a temporal, carnal, earthly pleasure, but something that goes beyond this world, comes down from above, and abides in reality in our heart no matter what we're facing. That is heavenly joys. And this word is a poetic, that is blessed. It is a poetic exclamation. So as to say in our time, oh, the bliss of, followed by the source of joy that is being recognized. And here the source of that joy, it is a spiritual blessing that we have from God as he's working in our life, making us what he would have for you and I to be. They taught us when we was just little people in little kids in Sunday school growing up around the church, the little The little chorus, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. And that chorus ends, he's still working on me. And so this evening we need to understand that God's working in our life and bring us into the image of Christ is something that we ought to be happy about. We ought to find joy in that, not only in the moment of salvation did he absolutely radically change our life, but he is still changing our life to this very hour. 27 years later, he's still working on me. And that makes me happy tonight. And that's where my joy lies, is in that relationship with my Heavenly Father forming me into the image of Christ. And so this bliss, this heavenly joy that the blessed man and the good man has, they're not happy because everything is well. It's not just because everything's good in my life. There's a lot of days there's not much good going on in my life. It is on the outside. In Psalm 112, this bears repeating again tonight, at this blessed man who has such bliss as is being described, he still encounters darkness in verse number 4. He still encounters days where difficult decisions must be made. Verse number 5. In verse number 7, this man still encounters evil tidings. That is, bad news comes to him like it comes to everybody else. And we find that in verse number 8, at this man who is so full of bliss and joy, heavenly joy, he is still encountering enemies. He still has fights with the enemy. There are battles that are brought to him by way of his foes, and yet the blessed man still has bliss in the darkness. He still has bliss in the face of difficult days and decisions, and in the hearing of bad news and evil tidings, and in the midst of war with enemies that are about him that want to beat his brains out and cause him to fall in the battle, we understand that there's still an abiding heavenly joy on the inside of the heart of this man who is in the image of Christ. I believe our Savior, we understand Isaiah 53, that he was a man that was acquainted with grief and with sorrow, and he knew what it was to have hardship in his earthly life. And yet we understand something about the Lord and the drawing power his life had and the effect that it had and the influence that it had in drawing men and women and boys and girls to him, and that in the midst of the grief and the sorrow was a joy that abode in his life because of his relationship with the Heavenly Father. And so tonight, if I'm being conformed to the image of Christ, throw at me what you will and let come what may. And I'm not asking for any more than I've already got. But I will say this tonight, if we are being conformed to the image of Christ, it means that we learn how to endure things with joy, with bliss, with knowing our God is in control and he's working in our life, even in the worst of situations. He is conforming our life to his Son, Jesus Christ, and we can be happy and joyful about that. And so our thought in Psalm 112 is simply, oh, the bliss of being blessed by God. Oh, the bliss of being blessed by God. And I won't re-preach it all, just throw it out. We see the love of the blessed man in verse number 1. He has a love for the Lord and a love for the Word. A love for the Lord and a love for the Word. That's where your bliss will come from in your Christian life, as you're being conformed to love the Lord and his Word as Jesus Christ did. We see the legacy of the blessed man in verse number 2. And here he speaks about a seed and a seed, a generation to come that is going to be mighty, is going to be upright, and is going to be blessed themselves, showing the influence of integrity that it leaves an impression long after we're gone. And that's something we can find joy in, that God, Brother Larry, would take our life
and make us to be an influence on somebody else that is still feeling the impact of our Christianity and our religion and our godliness long after we're gone. We've seen the loot of the blessed man, that is his treasure, while monetary possession come from God. We find here the verse in verse number 3 in context shows that the blessed man counts righteousness to be of the greatest value in his life. He'd rather have righteousness than riches. He'd rather have godliness in his life than gold. It's not the possessions that he has in life that are the greatest of value. It is the purity of God being poured into his life that God enables him to live for God in a pure way. And so if you really truly want to be blessed, you want the bliss of being blessed, you're going to have to treasure things that go beyond what you can hold in your hand and those things that God are working in your life. And then we ended last week on the light of the blessed man in verse number 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. And so we find here that the blessed man, he has bliss because the darker it is in the world, the brighter the light of Jesus and Christ's word shines in his heart. And everybody else may be in darkness, but he's not in darkness. He has a light. He has a light in the word of God for his feet. And he has a lamp for his path. And he knows direction when everyone else is stumbling around in the dark. He finds his way because God sends light to arise in his life. Literally, the light is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the light of the world. John 1:1 speaks of him as the light that now shineth in the darkness. And so this evening we have light in Jesus Christ. We have light in Christ's word and in his commandments. We have light to direct us. We have light to deliver us. We have light this evening that defends us, much like that Israel had when they came out of Egypt. They had a pillar of fire, a pillar of light to lead them in the darkness. It stood there as a defending barrier between them and the enemy on that night of their exodus out of the land when the enemy went assault to bring them back. It was the light that arose in the darkness and defended them from the enemy. And I say tonight, that's where my bliss is. Hey man, you look at the darkness that's in this world. Hey man, I'm like you. I've listened to all the news broadcasts today, and I've had some phone calls. It was filled maybe with a little bit of darkness. And there are things that, as I look out over the horizon, things I need to deal with, things that I see coming my way. And if I dwell on the darkness of those situations, I'll be bogged down. I'll get a frown on my face. I'll kind of, hey man, live my life. Woe is me. I can't believe I got to go through this. But if I let the light arise and let Jesus stand in my life and let his word shine forth and light the way and show me the direction, that is where my joy comes from. Amen. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life tonight. By way of darkness, I'm not minimizing it. But I know this, that when all was dark and that plague of darkness that hit Egypt's land, that it was dark all over the empire of Egypt. All the world was in darkness. Down in the land of Goshen, the Bible said there was light. Amen. Others, they couldn't strike a fire. They couldn't start a fire. They couldn't light a candle. Their oil wouldn't light. And there's no light to burn and to show them the way. But in Goshen, there was a light that God allowed to arise on them. And child of God, I don't know if it helps you tonight. Hey man, I'm starting to feel a little like preaching, Brother Larry. And in a world of darkness where men are stumbling around, we're God's children. We're the blessed men and the blessed women that God allows light to come to us, and we ought to be happy about that. Amen. Yeah. Hey my bliss is in the light that he lets arise in the darkness. Amen. Let me move on this evening. I notice here now the liberality of the blessed man. Several things I see that are interesting that I want to pull out, if I may, this evening in verse 4 and 5, and again in verse number 9. We'll jump down there about the liberality of the blessed man. Let me say tonight, the blessed man, he's not a stingy man. He is very liberal, and we speak in terms of politics. And I had a man some time ago, he tried to accuse me of being a liberal. Amen. And if you think I'm a liberal, buddy, you're smoking dope or something. Amen. We ain't liberal. We look at the word or a title of liberal upon us politically or theologically. We look at that, Brother Mike, as a bad thing. And it is a bad thing. I don't want to be a liberal in the way that we know it. And so we talk about conservative or liberal. And yet this evening, when it comes to the... when it comes to the blessed man, there is a certain angle of his life where he has much liberality. For instance, in verse number 4, let me break it down this way. He is liberal in his graciousness. Here's what the Bible said. He is gracious. He's not hard to deal with. He doesn't treat others without grace. He is easily entreated, and so he's liberal in his graciousness. I think about Jesus Christ. There was no more gracious man in all of human history than Jesus. Being gracious doesn't make you weak. Being gracious doesn't mean that you're a compromiser. We ought to be liberal when it comes to being gracious to people around us. The law, the Bible said, came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Jesus was a man full of graciousness. He wasn't some hardened individual. He didn't have himself, though he could have. He's the Son of God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Angels bow down to him, and demons submit to his authority. My friend, he could have been one to come on the scene and demand recognition and demand that people, my friend, just treat him in a certain way. But even though he was the King of Kings, and even though it was right to bow down to him, he had a liberality of graciousness upon his life. He'd be gracious to the religious crowd and gracious to the harlots. He'd be gracious to the Samaritans and gracious to his disciples. Everywhere you look in the life of the Lord, there is a liberality of him being gracious with people that are around him. You show me somebody who don't have no grace for anybody, I'll show you a miserable religious wreck. Amen. Amen. Always wanting to breed judgment. Amen. Them disciples, they had a problem with that, did they not? And I preach judgments. You understand, there is judgment. And the same Christ that's liberal in grace, he is, my friend, going to pour out the winepress of the wrath of God upon this world in time to come. And we understand all judgments been committed unto him. But those disciples, they missed it. And the Lord displayed his own graciousness in the midst of their spirit of judgment when they said, "You want us to call fire down from heaven? Do you want us to wipe out this crowd?" And the Lord looked at them and he said, "You don't even know what manner of spirit you're of." Then they were running low, Brother Mike, on grace. Amen. And the Lord had rebuked them, revealing his own graciousness. I'm telling you tonight, you want to know the bliss of being blessed. Learn how to be liberal when it comes to ministering grace to those that are around you. Amen. He is gracious. And then notice the Bible said, and full of compassion. Here's how I wrote it down. I like this. It goes very, very close to the thought of his graciousness, but there's liberality. He has liberality and gentleness. He's not a hard heart. Full of compassion. compassion, Brother Joe, we see in the life of the Lord that he looked out on the multitudes one day and he saw them scattered. He saw them struggling. He saw them going through hardship. He seen the mess that they were in. And the Bible said he being moved with compassion upon that same multitude because of their need and because of the direction of their life. There was a gentleness, there was a tenderness, if you will, toward the plight and the needs and the issues going on in other people's lives. And I say tonight, being some stuck up, think you got it all nailed down and look down your long nose at other people because of what they're going through only makes you miserable and makes people not be able to stand you. Amen. People that know the bliss of true Christ-like living Christianity are people that have a gentleness about their life. Amen. They're not hard-hearted. Does it hurt you when you see a brother or sister in Christ hurting? Does it bother you? Do you know the effects of a gentle heart and a gentle spirit that is easily moved by what others are going through, their needs, their difficulties, maybe the mess they've made out of their life. And there ought to be a bliss that we know that the Lord is working in our life to make us liberal in being gentle with others. Amen. Here's something I always have found interesting. God's people, and especially preachers, almost bragging on, but I gave them a piece of my mind. Amen. Brother Joe knows what I'm talking about. I've heard preachers show up in camp meetings and in the midst of their preaching proceed to brag on how they just scalded their people the Sunday before and how terrible their people were and how big and bad this preacher wants everybody in the camp meeting to think he is. Amen. You say, well, you think about it. I don't think he's big and bad. I think he's an idiot. Amen. Gentleness is something that ought to be in our life. Amen. A lot I could preach there. He's liberal in godliness. He doesn't hold back how far he's going to go with God. The Bible said his grace is full of compassion and righteous. Amen. Amen. And so there's something for all of us here. Amen. Godliness, he's not holding out on God. He wants to give God his all and display a godlike portrait to the world. Not that he thinks he's God, but he wants to reflect God in his own life by the way he lives, by the way he thinks, by the way he relates to others, by the way he fellowships with God. He is liberal in godliness. And in these days, there's such a need for each of these areas that we would be liberal in and not hold back in. I understand we're living in an ungodly world, but what an opportunity for God's people to rise and be more liberal to give God our all and say, I won't hold back. I won't try to take shortcuts and find loopholes. But I live for God. I'll stand out like a sore thumb. I'll let God pour a little bit of himself in me that can be reflected and projected on an ungodly world. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, I feel sorry for this crowd that thinks living a righteous life is a bore and is grievous. Brother Mike, Brother Mark, it is absolutely a joy to my heart to be able to live differently than this world does. Amen. Amen. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to live like they're headed there. Amen. They wonder why we got more people on Valium pills, more people in depression than's ever been. Come on now. Maybe we're not as liberal in grace and gentleness and godliness as we ought to be. Amen. It's good preaching, Pastor. He's liberal in I put it this way, he's liberal in generosity. And I know those are two kind of the same words. But I want to hit on something very specifically. The Bible said in verse number 5 and in verse number 9, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He would guide his affairs with discretion. Now, he's talking about lending, that is giving away the blessings that God has given him, using what God has blessed him in his life with, and he might turn around and be a blessing to somebody else. He's going to talk about it again in verse number 9. He had dispersed. He had given to the poor, those that are in need. He had dispersed. He's taken what's come down from above and he has directed that in other places. He does what he can, when he can, while he can. He has a generosity in his giving. Liberality and generosity, or liberality in his giving. That he realizes that God has been so good to him, and that it is a blessing. What did the Bible say? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus, if anybody displayed that, Jesus Christ displayed that. The God of glory come down, roamed in the form of a servant in heaven, taking upon himself a human body and come and lived among us. He had all the wealth of heaven at his fingertips. He could have, my friend, done anything, and yet he took the power that he had. He took the riches that he had, and he fed hungry bellies, and he helped the sick, and he raised the dead, and he's constantly pouring out what he can, when he can, while he can, because he has this liberality when it comes to being generous with what God had given him. I say tonight, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We're living in a world that says it's more blessed to receive than to give. Give, give me, give me, give me. Everybody wants the government to give them something. And everybody wants the billionaires to give them something. I don't even understand. I can't even comprehend that mentality. I don't want nothing from the government. I don't need anything from a billionaire. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of that stuff comes with strings attached to it. Amen. Amen. I tell you what I know about. Amen. Going out and break your back and bust your tail, go out and make your own way. Again, I don't need you to give me nothing. God gives me strength. God gives me opportunities. God opens up doors. God enables me to make to have ways whereby he can make a way to bring provisions that I need into my life. And then I must not take that and hoard it all up and store it all up. I'm not talking about being foolish. Amen. God knows I've done that enough. But taking what we have when we can, where we can, why we can, and say, I want to minister to the need of somebody else. That's what Brother Joe was talking about, what the Lord had laid on his heart in missions giving this year to do. He said, the Lord laid on his heart, be a little more generous than you were last year. Give a little more, do a little bit more. And you sit down and you try to, and Brother Joe hadn't told me this would be true of any of us. You sit down and you try to figure out, well, can I afford it? And God just says, well, just do what I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make a way to get it to you. Your job is just be liberal in your giving. Be willing to do what I've told you to do. And when I send it, give it. And how the Lord works all that in our life. And if you're like the world and you have a carnal man mentality, you'll think, man, look, think about what I could have done with that extra amount of money in the year. But that would just lead you to being sad and being an old booger bear. Amen? And if you want to know bliss, just saying the Lord loves what a cheerful giver. I get to give. I get to help somebody. I get to give to the poor that are spiritually poor by sending money into the offering plate to get the missionaries that will carry the gospel in a foreign field. And what a joy that is to be a part of in the work of the Lord. Amen. Generosity, giving. Amen. Amen. No, we don't give to everybody that comes around. Had a boy the other day, I was sitting at the gas station putting gas, and I don't mean to talk down about people that live on the street. Some of them there, I'm sure, they wouldn't be there. Just life,
just throw them a bad hand, and they try, and maybe some of them trying to get out. Brother Jack, as a boy, I'm talking about I'd been up early that morning busting it. Amen. I was covered in sweat and stink and everything else. And I seen him coming. I saw him coming. You can see him coming. They get this look in their eye. Amen. He come over here. And be honest, Brother Larry, I didn't even want to roll down my window, but he just stopped and he stared at me. And I thought, well, if he's going to stare at me, I'm going to have to get him out of here some way. And I rolled the window down. And he told me this long story for 10 minutes. It was a sad, sad tale. I got looking at him. He had on newer clothes and shoes than I had on. Amen. Had a coat on. Amen. I'm talking about had it down, had this big old chain around his neck, and a little chihuahua puppy dog up underneath his coat. Every now and then that dog would poke its head out, take a look at me. I said, I ain't got no money for you. I got some work if you want it. Amen. I said, I ain't got no money right now, but I got some work if you want it. Well, I work, but I can't do this and I can't do that. And I thought, yeah, amen. So he said he lends, but he does all this with some discretion. He ain't just walking around throwing out $100 bills everywhere. No. But when he knows there is a legitimate need, when he knows there's somebody who's struggling that he can be a help to, he finds joy in saying, you know what? God's given me more than I need. Or I've got maybe some needs in my life, but I can put off a few of my needs to help you out in yours right now, and we'll figure this out later. And that don't bother him at all. Amen. Boy, I'm preaching tonight. We wonder why we got such a sad, sap generation of Christianity in the church. Everybody's lost their smile, lost their worship, lost their hallelujahs. Amen. I'm going to tell you why. We're too stingy with the blessings God's give us. Amen. Amen. He's liberal. The liberality. I got to hurry. Amen. I'm a fading fast and y'all done quit on me. The loyalty of the blessed man. Verse number 6. The loyalty of the blessed man. Surely he shall not be moved forever. Forever. The Bible said this is a man that is unmovable. He will not waver. He will not slip. He will not fall from seeking. Notice what he's not going to be moved from. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. In other words, he is loyal. He is loyal to the Lord. He's loyal to the cause of God. He's loyal to the workings that God has already put in his life. He realizes that the Lord has brought him a mighty, mighty long way, and he's come too far to turn back now. He's not going to waver. He's not going to be moved. He's not going to turn back. He ain't going to fall out. He's not going to sit down and quit. He is a man that is going to be loyal to the Lord and what God has saved him to be. We've got, I don't mean to get mean tonight, it ain't my intention, but there is a day. You remember in the last days what Paul said? He gave that big long list of things. One of the things, Brother Joe, he put in there, and it's an interesting word. He said they're going to be traitors. You know what a traitor is? Somebody who was once fighting on one side but switched sides. Amen. They're standing under one banner one day, and then they're flying a whole other flag another day. Amen. There is no loyalty in our day. Amen. I want to say, when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, there is bliss in just remaining loyal to God, remaining loyal to seeking to live a righteous life. That even when we do fall, maybe we stumble, maybe we make a mess of something, that
that loyalty kicks in and we arise and we call on God and we get right with God and pick the banner back up and begin to live the life that He's put in us to live and saved us to live and to be conformed to the image of Christ again in our life, but never being moved to the point that you cannot recognize the work that God has already done in our life. I'm watching in these days, I'm watching preachers. We've watched church members at one time and for years stood one way. You pick your issue. It could be issues about music, the King James Bible. Amen. Doctrine. There are things that I've not been here my whole life. I've been here 10 years and that's plenty long enough to be able to have some illustrations. I've had people stand around this building in 10 years and tell me about what they believe and where they stand on things that tonight have showed no loyalty to what they said God put in their heart. Amen. 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 Let me just rattle a cage or two. Amen. What's even more sad than that, Brother Joe, is that when they start showing their lack of loyalty, all of a sudden that they start making statements, well, I only believe that because of the pastor. Well, you shouldn't have been making dogmatic statements like you was making. Amen. Amen. Nobody around here forces you to believe anything. All we do is preach the Word of God. Amen. All we do is shine forth truth and doctrine and what the Bible says and give you teach that. And yet there is tonight a need for God's people, a need for those who know the bliss of being blessed by God to say, I want to be loyal no matter what comes my way, no matter what bad news comes, no matter what darkness comes. No matter what comes my way, no matter what I'm called upon to do, or battle I'm called on to fight, or valley I'm called on to cross, I will stay loyal to my God. Amen. I've made up my mind. I'm not laying down my King James Bible. Amen. Let me back up and reword that. I've made up my mind. I'm not laying down God's King James Bible. Amen. It ain't mine. I'm just amen in on it. Amen. I'm glad this. Listen, I'm not turning away from old time worship. I'm not turning away from amen certain guidelines and moral standards that have been practiced throughout the decades and centuries of God's people in our nation that and have made their mark on for God and have known the ways of revival and have been used mightily of the Lord. I understand times change. I understand fashions change. I understand styles change. Somebody say, man, we didn't walk in here with bell-bottom suit breeches on and ties this wide tonight. I understand styles change. Amen. But the principles of modesty and what ought to be acceptable and what is decent is something we ought to stay loyal to. Amen. I ain't going to get off this point. I'm telling you, I'm happy about it. I understand there's a crowd. I've heard them preachers too and seen them Christians. Amen. With the old frown, long pharisaical face, and they got all the outward right, but they're miserable and they're bitter, and you can't even stand to be around. I've heard preachers preach that, and one that's preached, I could go, yeah, I believe that, and I agree with that, and I see where he's coming from on that. I may need to get that right and change in that area. And yet, if we're not careful, we'll forget at these things that we're to be loyal to. They're not to be a burden and a grief around our neck. We ought to be excited that we get to stay loyal to the Lord. Amen. Amen. In a crowd that's lost their ever-loving minds. Amen. I want to stay loyal to the Lord. I don't have to serve God. I didn't have to show up and preach tonight. I get to live for God. I get to preach. Amen. I'm telling you, my tail was dragging at about 5 o'clock this afternoon. I've been running all day long. Amen. But I didn't,
I got home, I showered, I put my suit on. Amen. I kissed Miss Kate. I said, I'm going to the office a little while, and I get to go preach tonight. Amen. You know why? Because this is what God called me to do. I want to stay loyal to my calling. Amen. You can be some sad sap all you want. Amen. You can have it all nailed down on the outside, but I'm telling you, there's bliss when you are loyal to the Lord out of a heart that is right to God. Amen. This crowd, they talk about all their liberty. I got liberty. I found liberty. No more rules. I have thrown off all the rules. What a bunch of crock. Amen. No rules. Amen. So you're living a lawless life. That's really what they're saying. A lawless life. There's no joy in a lawless life. Rules keep things sane. Boundaries show us the markers. And we all know there's certain boundaries you can cross that just make life absolutely hard. And I tell you tonight, I want to be loyal to the boundaries. I want to be loyal to my God. I don't ever want to be moved. There is bliss. There is bliss to the blessed man who has learned how to find his heavenly joy in just staying loyal to his Savior. Amen.